Hello, parent stars. I'm MJ, or Maretta Johnson, a child care specialist featured in Stories for Stars. I'm here to bring on the creator, founder, and author of Stories for Stars, Evan Nova, and help him break down all the stories featured in the program. Without further ado, let's welcome him in. Evan?
Thank you for the introduction, Maretta. Yes, hello, parent stars, and this is the Stories for Stars podcast. This is featured exclusively on our website, and the goal today is to break down the story featured in Stories for Stars in a ridiculous amount of detail. But first and foremost, just so we're all on the same page, so I am Evan Nova. I am the creator, founder, and author behind Stories for Stars. I authored the entire storyline that runs roughly 100,000 words, start to end. I have created virtually everything in this program, barring a few things. And yeah, this was my idea to do a podcast where I can break down in crazy detail all of the stories and storylines that go on. So that way you will know exactly what it is your child will be reading about and why it is that I say this is the most magical story in the universe.
I agree. Now, let's get into it. Can you tell us the backstory behind these stories, as well as your personal backstory?
All right, yes. So let's get into the backstory behind all of this. So my background is in writing. And in fact, this is a story that is shared on the website in one of the videos on the Be In My Story page. But it is no joke. It is 100% true when I say that writing is actually the thing that saved my life. So when I was 12 or 13, I had gone through a massive spell of clinical depression out of absolutely nowhere. And at the time, none of the coping skills that were presented to me made really any sense because I was mid-crisis and, you know, I didn't think that there was any solutions. And so when they would introduce them to me, I'm just like, yeah, whatever, right? You know, these things won't work. And not only that, but the attempt to introduce them felt so disingenuous and forced. Whereas the one thing that I already had a love and passion for was writing, as well as music too. So music is also a big part of my my origin story, but in particular writing. I would write songs, I would write stories, I would write in my own journal, I would write all my thoughts and feelings out. And long story short, when I went through this crisis, you know, prior to it, I didn't necessarily know what I was doing with writing. I didn't use it in some strategic way to cope. I just had a love for writing, and I liked writing, and I naturally would write out my feelings and such, but it was never strategic. And so when they then were able to, when they recognized that this was a thing that I'd already been doing, they were able to help me to utilize it and properly cope, you know, effectively with it. And so one of the biggest lessons I learned just from back then was how powerful a coping skill can be when you already have an organic, natural love for it. And in particular, when it's introduced during childhood, pre-crisis, right? That often happens in teen years. I mean, even if you don't go through a spell of depression and suicidal ideation like I did, it's very common that teenage years are very, very difficult for everybody for so many different reasons. But yeah, my backstory was always in writing for this reason. And fast forward, again, 15, 16 years old, 17 year old, I'm finding out that I'm a natural writer, and I wrote my first book when I was 18. I started a second book afterwards. It's kind of still a working process to this day. But I've always been writing. I've wrote hundreds of short stories. I've wrote so many different pieces for different things. I've wrote philosophies. I've wrote dream theories. I've wrote so many different things. And so when I was around 24, 25, so I had spent the last 8 to 10 years or so around music in the music industry, and I always loved the business side of things. And so at around 24 or 25, I realized that, you know, I had been an artist, I had made music, I had done a lot of different things. I'd produced songs, produced music, I'd wrote music, I'd done so many different things, I'd performed on stages, and I loved art so much, but I also loved the business. And when I realized that I had so much potential as a businessman, I also realized I had way more potential as an artist than I had ever thought possible. You know, I'd always seen myself in certain ways, but I didn't truly recognize the full extent of it. So at around 24, 25, I realized that I was meant to be an entrepreneur and do great things in this world. And when I was trying to come up with ideas, kind of a little side story here, but I had had this massive burst of inspiration to become an entrepreneur and to build some big business and do everything correct, you know, create something valuable and memorable and special and treat customers great. And I had this big inspiration. And at that time, my workplace, so I was there one day, I was working in a hospital and I was transporting a patient because I was doing patient transport. I was moving a patient and they just happened to mention to me that they were building a podcast that had to do with mindfulness for kids. And the way they explained it sounded good in concept, but it didn't sound perfect because I didn't think that podcasts were necessarily the best way to, you know, introduce mindfulness to kids. I felt like there were much better ways. And it was only really mindfulness that they were focused on, not everything else that might be relevant. And so I built Stories for Stars because I heard that initial concept and I'm like, wait, mindfulness for kids already is just a good idea, right? But why don't I take that, but just build something completely different, far grander, far bigger, far more special, and we'll cover everything, not just mindfulness, but meditation, you know, yoga, it could be art therapy and music therapy, writing, like I was doing as a kid. Breathing exercises and mindfulness, all these things. And let's not do a podcast. Let's do stories. And so originally the concept of this was going to be a subscription service type of concept, where every month, you know, people subscribe to the service would get these stories that introduce, you know, a coping skill or introduce mindfulness, you know, and I would have this continued series of stories of some type. But eventually I ended up realizing this was better as a program. And when I realized this was a program, I realized there was a cap on it because it's a structured program. So it became a 1 year long program and made the most sense. And it gave me enough time to do all the things I needed to do, like introduce all of these different coping skills and build big special characters. And so, yeah, over from that point on, over the next 3 years, what started as truthfully not good stories, because as great of a writer as I had no experience writing children's stories whatsoever. But I knew how to tell a good story, but children's literature is a whole other can of worms. It's completely different than anything I'd done before, because I'd always wrote complex mysteries and horror novels and stuff, not children's literature, you know, that pertains to positive mental health themes. But over the course of 3 years, it went from stories that were like 2,000 words each and had no depth whatsoever to them, and they just were characters with just names. That's all they really were, and just these basic conflicts. And so I'm very obsessive in nature. And so literally obsessively for 3 years, I have been building this into what I believe to be the most magical story in the universe. And what was originally 2,000 word stories that were kind of bland and dull are now roughly 10,000 word stories that are incredibly, incredibly well put together, have so much depth to them, so many different storylines that stretch across the program. I believe I have created something that is truly unique for children to read due to the fact that not many kids' stories are 100,000 words, let alone stretched out over a year, and it's all literature. It's not a movie. It's not a TV show. This is specifically literature. So there is a unique opportunity to do and tell a story that has never been told before. And it'll just be a unique experience. So yeah, so that's a lot of the backstory of how this all came together. But as we'll explore today, I truly believe that this storyline is special. And even if it isn't special right now to some people, you know, I don't have, you know, millions of test readers to tell me if this is perfect yet, but I am confident that it is going to be. But I believe that the starting point of this right now is already incredible, and I am so excited to see what people think of it.
I'm excited as well. So, first things first, can you talk about the main storyline that takes place across the program?
Absolutely. So, let's jump right into it. I think the first thing we should actually discuss is just who the characters are in the first place before I get into the actual whole entire storyline, but so the characters that are featured in this program are what make this program so special. And you'll understand as I go more in depth as to why, but I would be willing to bet there are not many kids' characters on this planet that have the depth that they do. And the way I do it is just, to me, looking at it now in hindsight, what I've created, fascinating. Because what I did was I created kid characters that have kid traits and act like kids and talk like kids and think like kids. Yet at the same time, the stories and predicaments that they're put in and the way they develop is complex, but it's all relatable things and things that are easy to understand. Just as an example, one thing we'll get into in a bit involves a character lying to another character. And it's just as simple as that. He lied. But the way that he lied has a little bit of depth to it, but it stretches for an entire year. And it's this one conflict that just builds and builds and builds. And so it's a simple thing that any kid could theoretically understand, but I build it in such a unique way. But it's things like these that make the characters so just unique and have such depth to them, because they're put into these big predicaments and you see how they react and behave over time to them, you know, and they grow and develop through these different experiences. But to be clear, so the characters featured in this program are Emerson, Ralphie, Twinkle, and Yogi. And Yogi has a best friend whose name is Sparky, who is a stuffed animal dog that she carries with her. And then we also have Mr. Max the Magician, who is an older character who guides them on all these adventures. He is this famous magician from their hometown, Dreambrook, which is on Earth, but it's a fictional town. But these characters, so Emerson is very extroverted, very friendly. He's a jokester, a prankster. He has very bad ADHD, and a lot of it has to do with the fact he constantly is hyperfixated and distracted by rocks and boulders. He's a very funny character in that sense, but it's a battle that he does, in fact, have to overcome throughout this whole program. We have Ralphie, who is the exact opposite. He is introverted, shy, quiet, but he's an insanely talented painter and artist, and very smart, like insanely smart for a child. But he doesn't necessarily know how to say it, but he knows how to show it. Interestingly, him and Emerson are best friends. They are complete polar opposites, but opposites attract, and they go together very well in funny ways. Then we have Twinkle, who is very sassy, very skeptical with things, but she is a massive personality, big, big personality, overconfident, loves attention. She is a natural, very talented singer and performer, and just loves being in the spotlight. She is a very, very funny character because she does not pick her words the best, and she just says what's on her mind, and that gets her into some trouble, but she has a very fun personality, and the dialogue with her across these stories is hilarious, but she has an interesting, I guess, character in the sense that, we'll break this down more in a little bit, but she has this big personality and all of this confidence, but it is in fact hiding something much deeper about her. And you see that throughout the stories. She's masking in a lot of different ways and hiding a lot of anxiety and a lot of fear. So that unravels. But her best friend is Yogi, who is kind of like Ralphie in some ways, shy, but way more giggly than Ralphie, but giggly, wholesome, cute. She's an ambivert, which for those who don't know, it's a mix of an introvert and an extrovert, kind of like a little bit of both. She can be very friendly. She's the first one to run up to people and hug them and talk to them, trying to, you know, make friends with them. But she's also completely fine by herself. She loves to spend time in her garden. She loves flowers. She loves nature. She loves going for walks. And she really, really loves Sparky, her bestest best friend. But Twinkle is just her best friend. And there's a funny joke about that in the stories. Twinkle's not the happiest about that. But those are the four main ones. And then, yeah, Mr. Max Magician, he's a famous magician who, in the overarching storyline I'll get into, he is responsible for pretty much everything that goes on in the storyline. But these four kid best friends, they all live in a town called Dreambrook, and they met at a place called Summer Starlight, which is the bonus story featured in the introduction month. If your kids don't read that story, it's not that big of a deal. It covers the backstory, and it gives some more detail behind how they became friends and how they met, explores a little bit of their dynamic and some of their past, but it's nothing that's crucial to the main storyline. But they met there through a different kind of competition that went on. It was two boys paired up with two girls, and that's how they all kind of came together, and they won this big competition together. But in month one of the program, which is the beginning of the storyline, they have to really put that to a test because there is an even bigger competition going on. And unfortunately, there's only three spots. And that's a massive conflict in month one. We'll break down in a little bit. But the overarching storyline has to do with they win this big competition in month one, and they are going to go on a magical adventure to a place called Planet Starlight. Planet Starlight is known to be the most magical planet in the universe. And this planet is the home of star skills. So it is explored in month one that the big idea of the storyline is they will go to Planet Starlight with Mr. Max and Magician for this big magical adventure. And while there, they will discover star skills. And it's explained that star skills are skills that help you to feel green at all times. And it's very much emphasized in month one that, let's just say, Ralphie and Yogi are put into a very tense situation, and they really, really, really wish they had star skills during this moment, and it kind of demonstrates why they're so important. But yeah, they're going to go to this big magical planet, discover these star skills with Mr. Max and Magician, and the goal is to become superstars. They will be crowned as superstars once they become the master of star skills. So the whole year-long storyline revolves around this concept that they will go to this magical planet, learn their star skills, and try to become superstars. And obviously, I think it should be pretty self-explanatory. In the end, they do, right? And that's the whole magic of the program, is that your children will go on the same adventure as these characters. It mirrors the real program that your kid are doing. When the characters earn star badges, which is how they rise to the ranks to become superstars, so will your kid. When the characters learn the star skill, you know, in that adventure, that's the one for the month that your kid's going to learn about. So they will do this experience with them and go on this big magical adventure with them. So yeah, so that's the gist of the overarching storyline. But when I talk about this, the program having storytelling that is completely unmatched, it's the fact that, yes, on paper, this is a good overarching storyline, but this goes for 100,000 words. I don't know the exact word count, but it's around that because each story is roughly 10,000 words and there's 12 of them total. But some of them run a little bit shorter, some run a little longer, so it's probably over 100,000 words. But every story, which for those who haven't read the website, you know, and all the details of this, we do this monthly. So every month your kids will get in increment of this big story. So it's always on the first of every month. You'll get access. They'll read this big story. They have the whole month to read it. And it comes in video form, like a video book format, traditional reading, a whole bunch of stuff. Well, you can learn about it on the website. But yeah, they will read this big adventure. And then next month, you know, on the first of the next month, they'll get the next story, and then the next story, and the next story, and so on and such forth. But yeah, as there is a general storyline that goes for the whole year, every month is a unique adventure that brings them to this planet and on, you know, the adventures on this planet. So, you know, one story might be about the rocket ship ride to get to this planet. The next story might be about exploring this planet. You know, the story after that might be about visiting, you know, a big part of this planet and going on this big magical adventure at this park that's on the planet. You know, every story has a unique individual adventure, and that adventure is just designed to be a great story in and of itself. So there are many adventures throughout this whole year, but the other thing that's fascinating is that there are long-term storylines that are built in throughout all of this. So there are long-term stories that begin as soon as month one, and they go for practically the entire program. And these long-term stories are intertwined with all of these individual adventures. That's what makes this program so special. And it's a level of storytelling that probably isn't found as often in kids' stories as it obviously would be found in adult stories. But as we'll get into, these stories are so awesome and so fun and riveting, and I tie them into all the individual stories in very unique ways. And I'm very confident that kids will be able to follow all of this. And there's a lot of techniques I use to assure that this will be the case. But that's why I say I think this will be a unique reading experience for kids, because the level of storytelling that goes on is so interesting for kids' literature. You know, for all I know, I was never a reader as a kid. Maybe there's millions of books out there that are this complex. I don't know, but it's very fun, and I cannot wait to break down all these adventures, all of these storylines. So, Maretta, you tell me, what do you want to know first?
All right. I would love to know about the individual stories. What kind of adventures are featured across the program?
All right. Well, that sounds perfect to me. So, what I'm going to do is I am going to give the cliff notes and explain the gist of each story. This would go for 4 hours if I actually broke down every story, you know, step by step, paragraph by paragraph, like all the things that happen. But I'll explore the things that are relevant. And when we get into the longer term stories, and just maybe we'll do a thing about key moments and big special moments across the program, you know, maybe some of my favorite moments, we'll explore some of the details from the stories, like in that type of way, at that point. But yeah, so to get into it, so we talked about the general storyline, about this big competition. They go on this big adventure to planet Starlight. They learn their star skills and they want to become superstars, and then they do, right? Wonderful. So the way it gets there, so yes, month one, as we touched on, so there is a big competition going on at a place called the Starlight Center, and these four best friends are going to compete. Now, it's said that this happens every year on National Starlight Day, which is a big holiday in this, you know, fictional town they live in. And every year on this day, they hold this big competition, and only a small group of kids get to go. Now, it's said that only three get to go. And that's the big conflict of the story, is that there's four of them, but only three spots. Now, the way it plays out is Emerson does an obstacle course, and he's very fast and athletic, and he very easily wins the competition. And of course, Twinkle, the natural singer, does a karaoke contest and completely destroys the competition. She easily wins that as well. The problem is the other competition is a painting competition, and Ralphie is an insanely talented painter, and he has to go up against his best friend, Yogi. Well, Emerson's his best friend, but they're all best friends. But he has to go up against Yogi, who can't paint. She doesn't really have any skills, especially in art. But Ralphie is a very selfless character, and he really, truly cares about his friends more than himself. And his heart is broken at the idea that he's going to have to face Yogi and beat her. And so the big conflict of the story is that he can't bring himself to beat her, yet she is pretty much telling him, like, look, if you just let me win, then I didn't win anything. Like, I didn't earn anything. I didn't earn this big adventure. You know, if you beat me, that's fine. You know, go on the fun adventure. She's very selfless, too. She's like, I'll spend time in my garden with Sparky. Everything will be fine. Like, you guys can tell me what happened afterwards, you know, when you get back home. And little does anybody know at this moment that this is going to become a major storyline in the program. Everything that goes on in this entire story it's the launching pad of the biggest storyline of the entire program. But in the end, just for the sake of the cliff notes of this, they all end up winning because they end up tying in this painting competition. And Ralphie has this really, really wholesome idea. It's so cute. But essentially, he has her paint him, and then he paints her. And when the judges ask, why did you do that? He explains that, well, if she wins, she can bring me. And if I win, then I can bring her. And the judges are just like, aw, like, that's so cute. Like, that's awesome. It's a power of friendship. You know, it's a wonderful lesson. So they explore the power of friendship in the story, and they all are united as best friends. And the judges agree that all four of them can go. And as a special reward for winning this competition as well, they are given their very first star skill directly from Mr. Max Magician, who wasn't present, but someone gives it to them as a gift on his behalf, which is a journal. And he explains in the first page of the journal how to use it. And so they kind of leave this after this crazy conflict that goes down. It is a perfect tie-in to the journals. And that's just another fun detail I'll just maybe explain a little bit here. The big conflict that happens in this story really bothers Ralphie in particular, and I'll get into why, but Yogi is under the impression that everything's wonderful, and it ties into journaling because the first thing Ralphie thinks to do after being given this journal is to write about what happened, and Yogi does the same thing but in a completely different way, and so it ties in to the journaling activity in the program seamlessly. And so it's perfect how that worked out. And you learn more about this conflict in these journal entries. And so the journal entries are a whole story in and of itself. There's a lot of fun details and interesting little things that happen across these journal entries. And just also learning about their perspectives of everything going on more. It's just another thing that no children's book would have. So it's a fun opportunity to just mess around and see what I can create. But anywho, so they learn about journaling in the first month. In month two, aka story two, whatever you want to call it, month two of the program, they are invited. So they get a letter in their mailboxes from the Starlight Center, and they are invited to be helpers for Mr. Max the Magician for his big performance of The Magic of Now going on that night at the Starlight Center. And it's pretty much said that they're going to be leaving for this trip very soon, and this is a wonderful way to meet him directly because he's going to be the one bringing them on this adventure. So the whole story has to do with this big magical performance, and of course, Ralphie, being an introvert who is very shy, doesn't like being on stage in front of big crowds, unlike Twinkle, who is more than ready to steal the microphone and sing on stage and completely take over the show herself. You learn a lot more about the characters in this story. It's a lot of building on not only who these characters are, but learning a lot about Mr. Max the Magician. And also, throughout this performance and after the performance, they learn a bit more about what this big magical adventure is and how this whole thing kind of works. But the Magic of Now is an original star skill, like from scratch. I combine tapping with a basic breathing exercise or just a way of breathing that is good for de-stressing and kind of integrated with mindfulness beliefs and such and different ways to be very mindful. And it's put into this one magic trick. So it's this big, grand theatrical performance that goes on in that story. You learn about the characters, the storyline, etc. while there. Month three is the rocket ship ride to get to planet Starlight. Now, Mr. Max is said to be wonderful at flying rocket ships, and he has done it all these different times and never had an issue. But of course, per their luck, after they leave for this big rocket ship ride, they face turbulence, they go through a gas cloud, and it causes a lot of shaking and rattling, but it freaks out the four kids on this flight, who are already nervous about flying through the galaxies to get to this planet. And yeah, this really sends them over the edge. But conveniently, there is a scene where Emerson was bonding with Mr. Max a bit, and a lot of it had to do with the fact that Emerson could tell Ralphie was horrified of this rocket ship ride, and Emerson ends up being given a star skill from Mr. Max because Mr. Max is going to be busy flying this rocket ship. So he says to Emerson, if Ralphie or really any of your friends need this, use it. Like, take it out if you need it. If anything goes wrong, like, by all means, open it up, share it with them, do it however you want to do it, you know, but use it to help each other. And that's exactly what he ends up doing. And it's called pizza breathing, which is a fun spin on of triangle breathing, except more kid friendly, because instead of a triangle, it's a slice of pizza. And they imagine a slice of pizza. They follow the triangle breathing instructions while imagining it. And then they kind of pretend to eat it afterwards. But that ends up saving them. I mean, they were horrified when the turbulence happens, but, or just in the story, shaking and rattling, but yeah, it calms them down, gets them through it, and then it's a smooth ride after that. Month four is the arrival to planet Starlight, and it is a very fun story because it's all about exploring. There is so much just descriptive writing and guided imagery and things throughout the story. It's this grand magical planet, and I spent a lot of time working on the description of this planet because from, at least in my opinion, looking at this from an outside point of view, kids are going to want to know what this planet is like, and they have to wait, like, multiple stories to get there. So I can't just have it be just some generic planet with just cool trees. Like, I can't just do something like that. My thought was kids are going to really, really want it, and they're going to have to wait a few months to get to it in real time. And so I want it to feel rewarding. I want it to feel like this was truly worth their wait and worth their time. And so there was a lot of exploration of this planet. I mean, pretty much, I would say probably two chapters dedicated to it, just exploring and exploring and exploring. But ultimately, they get to where Mr. Max lives on this planet, which is known as Mr. Max's Magical Mansion. And it's this giant castle of a building. It's absolutely massive. The illustration done for another program is so beautiful. But they explore this mansion a little bit, and it looks like just a regular home. But that's when Mr. Max tells them, well, yeah, it looks like that, you know, because Mr. Max gets homesick sometimes being here for a while, and he wants it to feel like home, but he says, everything that goes on upstairs is truly special. And he tells them that there are star skills hidden in this mansion, but it's going to be quite the adventure to get to them. Now, the funny part about this story, so he tells them this, but he's not expecting anyone to just go run and find them right now. They haven't even gone to their rooms yet. You know, like, go learn about the base level of the house and let's talk about the planet. You know, let's get to know each other more. You know, look at your bedrooms, like all that type of stuff is what he's thinking. So they all go and do that. But immediately Twinkle notices that there is a stairwell and she says to Yogi, like, hey, we should go up there and look. And Yogi's like, I don't know if we should do that yet. You know, I don't think Mr. Max would let us do that right away. And she's like, oh, what does he know? You know, he's just some magician, you know. Twinkle's so ridiculous at times. But she's like, oh, what does he know? You know, it's only a mansion, you know. It's only a set of stairs. Let's just go up there. And convinces Yogi to go up there. And the whole story revolves around Twinkle being absolutely adamant that the way that she's walking, the direction she's going, is going to lead them to the star skill. And unfortunately, it doesn't. they get lost, and she's certain the whole time that she'll find her way back. She's like, oh, it was only, you know, a few doors we went through. The reality is, the gag about this whole mansion is that there are hundreds of doors. There are, I mean, from a logistics standpoint and physics standpoint, it is absolutely impossible for this mansion to be as big as it's described, but that's the fun part of the story. There are hundreds, practically, of doors and hallways that they can go down, and they're pretty much all just empty rooms, and they're just there to mess with you. And the whole time, Twinkle is just certain she's going to get this right, but she never does, and Yogi ends up being like, oh, well, let me try, and she, you know, picks a few doors, and immediately they find their way to the star skill. And Twinkle, obviously, is not happy about that, but they finally get their way there, and that's when they discover happy words, which are positive affirmations. But Twinkle doesn't think it's that good. She's like, oh, these are just a bunch of words. You know, these aren't going to help anyone. This was a waste of time. And it's when she then decides, well, you know, Yogi's like, well, we'll bring it back with us, you know, to show Emerson and Ralphie. And she's like, fine, well, you carry it, right? And so they, as they're going back, that's when Twinkle realizes she doesn't know her way back. And in that moment, this is just another example of Twinkle's character being interesting. All of her confidence, gone. Absolutely gone. She shuts down. She has essentially a panic attack and realizes she can't find her way back and she's wrong and she can't accept it, but she breaks down. And so poetically, it is the happy words that calm her down. And Yogi's the one to be like, oh, aren't these just a bunch of words, you know, making fun of Twinkle? But, you know, I thought these were just words. But Twinkle realizes in the end that these happy words are actually very powerful and very helpful. And she ends up discovering them. And in that moment, now that she's calm, they're able to find their way back. So once they get back downstairs, that's when the funny moment of the story really happens, because Mr. Max is standing there with his arms crossed looking at her like, really? Like, you went up there without telling me type thing? And Twinkle's like, well, you know, I just, you know, I thought it would be fun. Like, you know, I didn't think we'd get lost. And Mr. Max reveals in that moment that, yeah, if you had waited like 10 more minutes, I was going to give you a map. There is a map of this entire place. You wouldn't have even gotten lost. And so Twinkle just goes, oh, come on. Like, just, she storms off all angry, you know. And Yogi's like, well, I tried to tell you, I tried to warn you type thing. But the end result is happy words. Now, moving on to month 5, Mr. Max kind of alludes to this in month 4, that they'll visit a place called Starlight Park once they're all settled in and everything. Fortunately, there was a little detour because of Twinkle and Yogi getting lost in this big mansion together, and that kind of derailed their plans. But Mr. Max tells him, we're going to go to Starlight Park. It's this massive, beautiful park. So it's going to be another story of exploration of the planet. But while they're there, I'll just make a note of this right now, and we'll come back to this in a bit. Ralphie ends up meeting a side character named River while here, and that is the beginning of another one of the big long-term stories throughout the program. But the story revolves around, they go to They go to the park, and after going through a bunch of dirt trails, they end up at a baseball field, and there's a bunch of kids playing baseball, and Emerson, loving sports, wants to join them, and all of his friends end up joining. So there's a group of kids playing there. So the four of them end up joining these group of kids. Twinkle is the referee. I think Yogi is standing on, like, second base. I think Ralphie's the catcher, and Emerson is, like, you know, going to be up to bat or something. But essentially, while they're playing, Emerson gets hit with a baseball in the arm, and it hurts bad. And he goes down to the ground crying, sobbing, and Mr. Max, you know, comes to the rescue and determines he needs to go to a hospital. He needs to actually get this looked at and make sure everything's fine. And every kid's biggest nightmare is going to a hospital, and it's a very scary but relatable scene. And Emerson is horrified of going to this place, and every single thing that they do scares him to death. And then he finds out they have to get pictures taken of his arm, being x-rays, but he is horrified of this. But interestingly, so Yogi's best friend, Sparky, is an emotional support stuffed animal. And it's said throughout this story in particular that Sparky has a magical power. According to Yogi, Yogi believes he has a magical power, and it's recharged through sunlight and belly rubs. But once it's recharged, he can use this magical power, and it'll heal anyone in need. It'll calm them down and make them feel better. And so we really build up kind of who Sparky is, especially in relation to Yogi, because she always has him. We kind of learn a little bit about why Yogi needs him and why they're so close. But in this moment, when Emerson is terrified of these x-rays and pictures being taken of his arm, he can't bear the idea of doing it. He's, like, inconsolable. Yogi ends up giving him Sparky. And we actually see firsthand why Sparky is so important and how helpful he can be. And so there's a very big moment where Emerson is hugging Sparky, and he gets this strength, he gets this comfort, he gets this support that he desperately needs, and he's able to get through these pictures. And in the end, everything was fine, and his arm was okay, and it wasn't even all that bad, right? But they go home, and that's pretty much the end of month 5. Going to month 6, now that they have the map of Mr. Max's magical mansion, that's when, so Ralphie has the idea of, well, there is another star skill in the house. And just in making a note of this, the side story of River relates to this, because Ralphie and River end up connecting through art. And again, we'll break this down in more detail in a little bit, but one of the things she mentions in their conversation is art magic, which is a star skill that she happens to be very, very, very fond of and really loves. And Ralphie, loving art, wants this. And Mr. Max reveals that that's the other star skill hidden in the house, or the mansion. And so Ralphie is going to go on an adventure throughout the mansion using the map to get to this star skill, and Emerson ends up tagging along with him. Twinkle and Yogi don't want to go back up there, so they're left out of this one in that sense. But the two of them go on this adventure, and long story short, he ends up getting to the art magic star skill. Emerson ends up finding a room full of rocks and boulders, and he's very happy about it. But Ralphie ends up getting his art magic, and we learn about art magic a lot in this story. And art magic, just to be clear, is the process of reframing. So it's the idea of, if you had a negative thought, if you paint it into a positive thought. Simple concept, works wonderful, especially with kids. And it's done through Ralphie painting. And there is a relevant thing in the story that he paints that it's perfect for him to do as an exercise at the time. Month 7 is all about this. It's all about Twinkle. This is a very big story for Twinkle. It, at one point, was the longest story in the program. I don't know if it is at the moment, but it was a very lengthy story because there was a lot of groundwork in a lot of things I wanted to explore involving Twinkle. And just to note this as well, Ralphie has an incredible moment. I'll actually explain this one because it doesn't involve River as much, but beautiful moment with Ralphie at the end. But essentially, this story revolves around there being the magical music festival going on that night. And this is, I mean, Twinkle loves the idea of this. Her favorite band that's in the story, they're referred to as the Bouncy Balloon Buddies. They are performing at this big magical music festival, and they're going to be going there that night. There's a little couple different small adventures that happened leading up to this point, that all music related and instrument related and learning about instruments and such. But ultimately, they go there, and Mr. Max tells her that, hey, just so you know, during this performance, this big, big performance tonight where thousands of people are going to be, they often ask for volunteers to come up on stage and sing with them. And this is Twinkle's dream come true. Not only does she love this band, but to perform on stage in front of thousands of people, I mean, or hundreds nonetheless, whatever it is, huge. I mean, she's an 8-year-old girl practically, you know, like this is insane for her to imagine, but she's so confident. She's like, oh, I'm going to steal the show. This will be wonderful. You know, I can't wait. Like, this is going to be the greatest thing ever. And up to this point in the story, mind you, Twinkle is so confident, so over the top of her willingness to perform and never scared of people and crowds and all this. And so obviously her friends fully believe she's going to do this and that she will completely steal the show and things will be great if she gets picked, right? Now, there's no guarantee that she's going to get picked, but they're going to be in the front row because Mr. Max Magician knows the people in charge there and stuff because, you know, it's this big magical adventure to Planet Starlight. So there's a pretty good chance she's going to get picked. And they're all going to be cheering for her. Ralphie, Yogi, you know, Emerson, Mr. Max. You know, there's even another side character in this story who kind of joins them for this, who they're also cheering, you know, cheering Twinkle on. And it's all going to come down to this moment. Will she get picked? But Twinkle, being Twinkle, made a very big mistake earlier that day. After all of this is set up, they're excited, this is going to be a great performance. Twinkle, in Twinkle fashion, decides to practice her singing, doing some vocal warm-ups earlier in the day, and she thinks it would be a great idea to practice heavy metal screaming. And she screams very loud, and she hurts her voice. And she realizes this right as it happens, and when she tries to sing, she sounds horrible. And all of a sudden, her confidence is completely gone. And she is horrified at this. And so the only person she can tell, because the only person she'd even be willing to tell is her, of the group, her actual best friend, being Yogi. She's terrified. Let's just put it this way. Twinkle is terrified to tell everyone because she spent all day hyping up this big performance and how confident she is. And now she just ruined her voice. And she is embarrassed and can't bring herself to tell anyone what happened. But she confides in Yogi. And they kind of set up a plan. Yogi's like, okay, well, I can speak for you, you know, throughout the day, evening, whatever, throughout the rest of the night, just whisper in my ear and I'll speak for you. And we'll just tell everyone else that you're just resting your voice, you know, making sure everything's fine for tonight. You know, nothing goes wrong. You know, she's going to, you know, let her vocal cords be in great condition and all that. And so they create this little lie for everyone and they believe it. And it just leads to some hilarious scenes where Twinkle will whisper something in Yogi's ear and she'll say the exact opposite to people. And it's funny because Yogi's character she's very clueless with a lot of things. She's not the brightest. She is not good at many things. And when you look at these scenes, you might think that Yogi is just the worst translator and communicator of all time. But you also kind of get the idea that she's doing this on purpose to mess with Twinkle. And she's actually smarter than you realize. And there's just some funny scenes of her trolling Twinkle. It's great. But it all comes down now to this moment of when she gets up on stage, is her voice going to be healed? Will it be damaged? Will she sound terrible? Her confidence is gone. And it's all heightened by the idea that everybody is rooting for her and cheering her on and pointing at her saying, pick Twinkle, her, she's the one. And she's horrified that she's going to completely, in her mind, ruin her entire music career. Everything will come crashing down. She'll be a joke to the whole world. But the key to this entire story, one thing that goes on throughout the entirety of this, is Mr. Max is telling her about music magic. So in the program, there are three forms of magic: art magic, music magic, and word magic, which comes up in another couple stories from now. But music magic is another one of them. And it's pretty much explained just, I mean, as simple as it can be, music can calm you down and it can help you when you're tense and when you're in program terms, when you're feeling red and feeling blue. It can either lift you up or calm you down, and it can be used in these very special ways if you know how to do it. And this song that's going on that she's going to be performing, you know, in front of everybody, makes her feel calm and makes her feel very green and happy. And he tells her very specifically, just when you get up there, if you get nervous, now, mind you, Mr. Max has no idea about the hurt voice, but he says to her, just remember, let the music enter your body, enter your mind, let it fill you up and fulfill you and calm you down and just let it take over. And little does he know how much she really needed to hear this at the time. She gets up on stage and the song's playing and she does exactly that. And you see exactly how music can help someone to cope or to just regulate emotions. And as she's finally calm, she just says, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to see what happens. And she sings and her voice has been healed and she sings beautifully. And it is this beautiful, wonderful performance and everything is happily ever after. But the best part of the story, as great as that is, so in the story before, Ralphie learned about art magic, and one of the biggest lessons he learned through the side character and everything that goes on there and everything he learned about art magic is that he can communicate through art more than he can words. And at that time, he really felt like, I want to use this to make someone feel good and to help someone else, not just me. And so all throughout the story, Ralphie is working on this painting of Twinkle singing up on a big stage in front of a crowd. And I think maybe he suspects something might be off with Twinkle. That's kind of up in the air as to if you interpret that or not, but he is adamant that he's going to do this big painting and he has this big idea to give this to her. And at the end of the story, when they get back home, she walks into her bedroom and she finds this painting from Ralphie. And there's a little letter note that's attached, and I forget the exact wording, but essentially says, if you didn't get picked to go up on stage tonight, then just know that this picture right here will motivate you for the future. If you did get picked to go up on stage, just know that we all believed in you and we knew you could do it. And she just bawls her eyes out. And the story ends on this insanely powerful note of how art can impact someone in a positive way. But it all comes back around to Twinkle's big performance in that she did in fact shine. She did in fact do it. And there's a whole other story going on of Twinkle and Yogi at this time that makes this even more significant. But it's a beautiful, wholesome ending. Now, moving on to month 8. So month 8 is going to end up having one of the craziest moments in this entire program, but we'll get to that in a bit. The story involves them going to Milky Way Lanes, and they're going to be going bowling. And it's more of a fun recreational story, a lot of silliness, a lot of fun, a lot of gags, a lot of jokes, a lot of pranks that happen. It's a very fun story in that regard. But ultimately, the big story of this is that they know that at that show, similar to this big music festival with someone being, you know, being able to perform with the headliner, they know that this Milky Way Lanes place always has guest hosts to host this. They have music going on and activities and games and all types of fun stuff at this place. And Emerson is kind of keen on it because Emerson loves to tell jokes and to make people laugh and to entertain. And him and Twinkle actually connect on this. And it's actually funny how it happens too, because this story opens up with a hilarious scene where when Twinkle eventually goes to sleep after bawling her eyes out seeing the painting from Ralphie, she in the morning she decides to write a song for Ralphie that's thanking him for that, and it's just called Mr. Ralphie. And Ralphie hates attention, so when she ends up doing a mini performance for him, and he's embarrassed the entire time, but it's all about her singing thank you Mr. Ralphie and for the painting. It's a hilarious song. But Emerson really loves the idea of performing, and he's like, I kind of want to do the same thing. So a lot of the story is surrounding the fact that Emerson, he can't sing, but he can tell jokes and entertain and host and stuff, and there's going to be guest hosts at this show. And in the end, he is given the opportunity to be a host at this Milky Way Lanes place, which, again, is funny because he's an 8-year-old kid, but he's given the opportunity. But a lot of the conflict has to do with the fact that he is scared because typically, everybody laughs at his jokes. They find him funny. He's always making people smile, always making them giggle. But of course, that day, multiple times, nobody laughs at his jokes. In particular, people at Milky Way Lanes that he's trying to befriend. No one finds him funny. So he is suddenly very scared about going up on the stage and hosting the show. And Emerson being very chaotic and over the top with energy, Mr. Max ends up recognizing that this is the perfect time to introduce dancing as a star skill. And so that story ends up with Emerson learning about dancing and how to use dancing, and it gets all this nervousness and jitters out of him, and he ends up hosting. Everyone laughs. It's a wonderful ending to the story. Month 9. So month 9 is what I believe. I mean, outside of maybe month 11, because it's debatable, I love both stories so much. Month 9 is by far the most fun story of the entire program. They go to a place called Billy Bob's Barnyard. Now, Billy Bob is Mr. Max's best friend, in particular on Planet Starlight, but one of his closest friends. They've known each other for so long. Billy Bob is this over-the-top, ridiculous southern farmer kind of character who has the most ridiculous accent, says the most absurd things that are absolutely hilarious. His one-liners are ridiculous. His punchlines are ridiculous. But he is this wholesome farmer that just loves his animals so much. Oh, he names them all. There's Carl the pig. I think there's Randy and another horse. I forget the name. Helen, I think, is one of them. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. It's hilarious animals that are there with all these different names. And they go around exploring this barnyard. And there are so many fun moments, so many silly scenes, so many great things that happen. But this story has the most heartbreaking moment. Technically, I would say month 8 has the most heartbreaking moment that we'll get to later, but this story really has a heartbreaking moment. But I'll save a lot of that for the long-term stories because it'll just be more coherent to explain all this with proper context. But it has a horribly, horribly heartbreaking ending, and with a very wholesome ending after that. But it is a very fun story with a crazy plot twist and a tense scene. And then a happy ending, kind of. The story gets really, really engaging at this point. So many things around this point are picking up steam in these long-term stories, and there's so much that goes on that we'll get into. But in the end, it leads to Yogi having a very, very tough night, and she desperately needs a star skill to help her. And that's when Mr. Max, knowing the characters pretty well at this point, he knows that Yogi loves bubbles. And so he introduces a star skill called thought popping, which is it's a fun kid-friendly coping skill where you use bubbles, where you imagine your negative thoughts and you blow them through bubbles and pop them away. So you're essentially popping away your negative thoughts. And it helps her through this really, really hard night. It perfectly plays into month 10. The month 10 involves, so I don't want it to sound confusing, so I have to give minimal cliff notes on this one because it'll make more sense in a little bit when I break down the longer-term stories, but essentially they have to go back to Billy Bob's for a reason, and on the way there, they have to stop by a side character's house, and they get stranded there because Mr. Max's minivan that he uses to drive them around breaks down. So month 10, they are at the side character's house. And the side character is the same one that introduces art magic. And while there, Ralphie ends up learning from this character word magic, which is the third form of magic. It is very similar to art magic, but it's all word driven. So it's for those who maybe don't like to draw as much, but perfect for those who like to write and use their words more, especially on paper. But we cover that in that story. Month 11 is also, again, if not month 9, then month 11 is the best story in the entire program. But again, I can't get into a lot of this because so many long-term stories are compounding in this. But just to be clear, it ultimately does end up leading to Yogi actually discovering yoga, which is, little side note, very ironic because Yogi's entire original character was all about yoga. And when I first wrote these stories, it was something that was just casually introduced about her. Oh, Yogi loves yoga. What's yoga? Oh, it's this fun thing that you do where you do stretches and all these. And it just felt so insignificant. Like, I felt like it was completely undermining the importance of yoga, and so I kind of just took it away from her, kept the name Yogi, and I just said, there's going to be a story that involves her discovering yoga. I didn't know what story. Little did I know that it would technically be one of the last star skills in the entire program, but boy, when I say that this star skill of yoga, I mean, it has such a significant meaning and purpose in these storylines now. It's so beautiful, but it leads to that in the end. And then month 12 is all about getting crowned as superstars. But Mr. Max has one final task, and he explains that that superstars need to be able to share and help others to learn star skills too. Now, in reality, the reason I'm doing this is because I want kids to feel like, you know, if they're superstars in real life and they have all these star skills, I don't want them to just keep it all to themselves. We have an epidemic to fight, you know, a massive epidemic of suicide in teens. I want kids to be telling all of their friends about star skills because that's how you truly spread these across the world. If every kid tells all of their friends, I mean, the significant impact of this is insane, right? If they all did that. So I want them to tell them. And so it's essentially a duty of a superstar to spread star skills and get more and more people aware of these. But in the story, the characters have to do the same thing. And it all kind of revolves around acts of kindness. Not just helping them with star skills, but doing good things for other people. It's a lot to do with philanthropy. It's technically a star skill. I mean, it's not a star skill in the way that like art magic is or pizza breathing is, but it is a star skill in a sense, acts of kindness and philanthropy. And so they have to do these nice things for people and find things that are genuine to them and not just random things out of nowhere just for the sake of it. They have to find genuine ways to help people in a way that fulfills them. And so they do this. And yeah, in the end, they all end up earning their title as superstars. And the story ends on a very beautiful note. And yeah, I'll leave that because that's a long time from the beginning of this. I don't want to give away all the fun details at the end, but there is a really fun conclusion. And I think the story ends perfectly. So... that is the overview of what all these individual stories are. And again, just to be clear, so there's the overarching story as you now are familiar with, and then every story has these individual adventures. But these are cliff notes. I mean, every story is packed with stuff. I mean, packed with fun dialogue, silly moments, pranks from Emerson, you know, paintings from Ralphie, character development moments, dynamics between all of them, little side adventures that go on throughout them. So many different things that happen throughout each story. But the thing that I personally believe makes this program special and makes this the most magical story in the universe is the long-term storylines that go on. And I am so proud of them. I am so happy with them. And yeah, before we move on, I just want to make sure, Moretta, if you have any questions about anything that I've said so far.
Nope. I think you said it all perfectly. So tell us, what are some of the long-term storylines that go on across the program?
Absolutely. So I would love to get into these. To give a little context and backstory first. So originally, I didn't plan on having any of these. I didn't think kids would be able to keep up with them or remember these things over time. And I just felt like it might get a little too complicated, a little bit too much to manage, and they might just not remember all the things that should be remembered. And I just felt it was at first better to just do individual stories. It doesn't really matter what happened in the last one because the next one is a brand new adventure and everything starts from scratch again, yada, yada. But to me, it just, when I was doing it, there were so many moments and stories that just naturally went together well. Like month one, you know, bled into month two really easily, you know, and two bled into three very easily. And there would be little things that would happen in month one or month two that felt relevant to call back to in month three. And over time, I started to just realize, like, instead of these being individual stories that, you know, the one before and after don't really matter to it, I thought it was way more interesting to just have these stories be continuous and build. And during this, I ended up kind of coining my own term that I hope one day becomes a bigger thing that people refer to and credit me for. But it was a concept I created called a creative ecosystem. So a creative ecosystem to me is an ecosystem of creative concepts that you build and you just build and build and build it. And then you have this massive pool of concepts that you can then take individually and build and build and build and then kind of intertwine them together. It's kind of abstract, but the idea at least would be if I were to, let's say, one thing that'll come up is involving a flower that is involved in the Twinkle and Yogi story. If I created the concept of this flower that has this magical meaning to it, that's something I can add to my creative ecosystem. And so then in month 7, 8, and 9, I can bring this flower into different scenes. And it would make the scenes feel unique compared to other stories because it has this special flower, right? If I make it so that Ralphie discovers the importance and power of art, I can now use that and have him do paintings every single story in interesting, unique ways. So in my creative ecosystem, I will have this powerful way of using art. I'll have this flower, and I'll just keep building these concepts and then be able to use them throughout all of the story. And since they'd be consistent, kids should be able to remember them. And similar things like this, I would do with the characters in their just personal developments. You know, if Ralphie is very shy and quiet and anxious around people, that would be a reoccurring theme. It wouldn't just be new stories every single time, these new long-term stories. It would be one that would be consistent and easy to follow. And over time, I got addicted to doing this type of thing and just building these longer term stories and growth arcs. And I just thought it would be interesting if not only is there this general overarching story and these individual stories that have these individual adventures, but what if every character had their own story that plays out over time? And I just felt like if I could do this in a way that was clear, concise, I communicated effectively, and I use a series of techniques in writing to make sure that kids don't get lost and that they can keep up with everything going on, then if I put this all together into one big thing, then I would literally have one of the greatest kid stories ever. Like, this would be crazy, right? Now, again, that's subjective. I don't know if this is truly the greatest of all time, but I believe it is, right? And I worked so hard to make all of this coherent and go together perfectly. But these long-term stories, the way I would explain them from an outside point of view, the biggest and most important thing in the program is the overarching general story. Then you take another step down and you have the individual stories. The next step below that is the long-term stories of the characters. So I didn't design these stories, especially at the beginning, to have anything to do with the long-term stories. I integrated these long-term stories into the individual stories that were all part of the general story that goes on. So I kind of almost reverse engineered this in some ways, but that's kind of how I actually built these and integrated them in. And so I just kind of found ways to bring them into each story and in doing so enhance all of these stories. But because this was a 3-year process, I mean, there are stories like month 9 that the original story had nothing to do with what's in there now. I ended up rewriting pretty much all of month 9 because it ended up being a massive long-term story going on at that time, and there was a far greater way to integrate it into that. So there are some many stories that I completely rewrote just because there was a long-term story that ended up developing over time. But my original game plan wasn't to write them because of that. I wrote the general story, came up with the individual stories, and then in the aftermath of this, I created these long-term stories, integrated them in seamlessly, and then when it was called for, I'd rewrite stories and tweak things, etc. So yeah, I felt like you would think I'm like a mad scientist with like a massive whiteboard as I'm jotting out all these notes and with all these squiggle lines and try to connect all these dots. But in the end, I ended up with this beautiful, beautiful outcome. And also, just before I get into them, just to explain some of the strategy behind this and how to keep this coherent and clear. So just as an example, one method that I use a lot in the program is something as simple as a stop and recap. So there might be a scene, like there's a scene in month 11 that is beautiful. I mean, it's from a conflict standpoint, it's so well done. And I'm so proud of the scene. But a lot goes down in this scene. There is a lot of things that happen in the scene from top to bottom. A lot of things that have been built up to this point that I'm confident at this point any kid would be able to have followed. And they would know what's kind of going on in the scene. But I felt like, let's just say a kid maybe doesn't remember all the details and doesn't truly understand the perspective of one of the characters in the scene. Maybe they've read another book in the meantime or read another story. Maybe they're forgetting some things that happened. Maybe their memory just isn't that good or they didn't care about the original scene, so they didn't even think it was significant, and now it is. Let's just say that that happens. So at the end of this scene, as it's kind of all finished going down, I stop and I just recap. And I just explain in kind of back to the kid, this is what just happened. Or it could be mid-scene and I'll just say, this is currently what's happening. This character feels this way for this reason. And if, and, you know, and the other day, this thing happened, which is why this character feels this way. And I'll just make sure that any kid reading this, if they aren't following, this will help them to get back onto the same page of as what's going on. And they'll go, oh yeah, that did happen. And oh yeah, that does make sense. Because it's clear, concise, and then the story picks back up. So there are lots of moments like this that happen where I'll just stop whatever's happening, kind of pause the story for a second, recap the gist of what's going on, and then resume. So that way, there's no confusion. If they miss something, maybe aren't remembering something, this will get them right back into the flow of things. So there are strategies like that. And there are many more of them, but there are there's a lot of different things I've learned over time with how to make these things clear and concise in the first place. Even if it's just making sure that any time that there is a relevant scene, it's always featured in a story recap prior to the story. So like when they read month 9, let's just say, at the start of the both the traditional reading and the star books, there is a recap that recaps some of all the major things that happened recently. Or if there is something in month 9 that is significant that calls back to something in month 3, let's just say, right? Something a long time ago in real time, I will remind them of what happened in that story. And considering the stories were long and hopefully memorable, I think the kids will remember what I'm talking about. But if they don't, here's a reminder, you know, this happened on the big rocket ship ride and this was a big thing that happened of this character. So even if they don't remember, now it's like, okay, well, now you know that happened. And that's something relevant. And I'll do this because it will come up again later. So I'm not expecting kids to remember every single thing that happens because there's a lot of stuff that happens. So I give it to them in the recaps. And then in those scenes, I will do the stop and recap kind of concept. And then even afterwards, you know, there are creative ways I do this too. But there are times where I will just after a scene, just break down from a different perspective what happened. Or again, in a more creative way, I might have a scene happen afterwards where let's just say Yogi's involved in this crazy conflict of a scene. It's wild. All this stuff happens. I do the stop and recap. Then it continues and the scene finishes. Afterwards, Twinkle might come up to her and ask her about what happened. Like, hey, I just saw something crazy happen. You tell me what happened. And so then if for some reason at that point, the story recaps, all the things I've done, the stop and recap thing isn't enough, the conversation with Twinkle will make complete sense of everything that happened. So there are strategies like this I use throughout this to balance out any complexity that might be too difficult, especially for the younger kids. And it also, I'm aware of the fact that there are going to be times where just not everything is picked up on. You know, not everything is going to be fully understood. It is what it is. You know, at the end of the day, not every child is going to perfectly get every single thing that happens ever in any story, right? But what I think is awesome is that these stories, there are many of them that go on, and I don't think there is anything that, like, the big moments, I'm adamant kids will understand because I go to great lengths to make sure of it. But if for some reason maybe they just aren't following what happens in month 8, well, month 9, I'm gonna hook them right back in, and I'm gonna make sure that everything is clear and coherent in that story, you know, and we'll pick it right back up. You know, but nonetheless, to actually break down some of these long-term stories, this is my favorite part. I love this conversation so much. We'll start with the biggest one because it is huge in the program and has such a perfect ending to it. It involves Ralphie and Yogi. So we'll go back to month 1. I talked about how in month 1, there's this big competition. It's Ralphie and Yogi having to go against each other in this painting contest. To understand this now, before anything, a big part of Yogi's character that in the end of all this is very well known and very clear, but a big part of her character, which I love because originally I didn't know Yogi. I knew Ralphie, I knew Emerson, I definitely knew Twinkle, but I didn't really get Yogi. And it was one of my biggest challenges from a character perspective. But one day it clicked. And it actually clicked because of one of the stories I was writing. And the whole thing just kind of spiraled from there. But Essentially, Yogi's biggest issue is that she doesn't have any skills. She doesn't have any talents. She doesn't have any of these big characteristics that her friends do. She can't paint. People don't find her funny. She can't perform. She can't sing. She can't really do anything. Like, she can garden pretty well, you know, and water her flowers, but she doesn't have any talents. She doesn't have some big personality. People like her, but to her, it's just her. You know, it's not a big deal. And if anything, from her perspective, one of the things that people always talk about with Yogi is Sparky. Because Sparky is this cute stuffed animal she always has, and every time that she's involved in something, Sparky's right there. And people always are saying, oh, Sparky's so cute, Sparky's so adorable, Sparky this, Sparky that. Never Yogi this, Yogi that. It's always Sparky this, Sparky that. So from her character's perspective, she doesn't have any of these talents or abilities that her friends do. They all outshine her in all these different ways. And the one thing that she does have also outshines her, which is Sparky. And so in this first competition, this is why when they are going up against each other in this painting competition, Ralphie instinctively wants to let Yogi win because he's selfless and he knows he's going to beat her and he can't bring himself to do it. So he feels bad and he pretty much says, like, you know, like, I'll go easy on you type thing. Like, you know, I'm just going to completely destroy you in this if I try. And Yogi says, no, like, I want you to do that. I want you to try. Because if you let me win, then I didn't earn anything. I didn't do anything. I didn't earn my spot on this adventure. I want to earn it. And if you beat me, then that's fine. You know, and that's again where she's saying, like, I'll be at home. Everything will be cool. You know, she's selfless too. But deep down, and she explains this a bit, she pretty much says, like, I never win anything. I never do anything. I never have these big things, and I don't want to just be given it. I want to earn this type of thing. And Ralphie promises, okay, like, I promise, I will make sure that I try. But when it comes down to it, he can't bear the idea of beating her. Because he's looking at his portrait, and it's beautiful, and he's looking at hers, and it's terrible. And he's like, there's no way she's going to win. She doesn't even stand a chance against him. And so in that moment, his heart just breaks for her. She's all giggly and wholesome and doesn't really have anything to show for. And he's like, I can't do it. I need to let her win. I need to do something. And so in that moment, someone in the crowd sneezes, and then he gets an idea. And he says, I'm going to fake a sneeze. And he has his paint on, his brush and everything ready. And right when she's busy painting, she's painting a picture of Sparky, of course. But as she's painting, he sneezes and it sends paint flying all across his portrait. And it smudges with this big stroke of the brush when he sneezes across his painting. And he sabotages it, ruins his painting. Therefore, Yogi would probably beat him. And when she says, like, oh, what just happened? He lies and says, oh, it was my allergies. You know, haha, I've been sneezing all day. He, you know. And she's like, oh, me too. Haha, I've been stuffed all day. Haha, you know, whatever. And he's like, oh my God, that worked. But when the judges go to tally up, because they're also kind of competing against a bunch of other kids, it comes down to the two of them in that sense. And the judges say, it's a tie. Ralphie's painting was beautiful, but there's a massive smudge mark and everything looks ruined. And Yogi's, well, isn't really that good, but it's cute. And the dog is so adorable and cute. Everyone loves Sparky, haha, right? And Yogi's like, of course, everyone loves Sparky, you know, and it leads to a tie. So that's when Ralphie realizes he's in an even bigger problem now, because now there are no other kids. There's not even a chance of anyone else winning. It's only them two. And his plan didn't work. It kind of did, but it didn't. And he just lied to her and he's like, well, now what do I do? Right? Now, after all of the suspense now I have to beat her? After she thinks there's maybe a chance, now I have to beat her? He can't do it. And so that's when he comes up with the idea. He doesn't tell her the full plan, but he just says, I want you to paint me. And she's like, oh, can I make you look pretty? He's like, sure, whatever. Like, make me look pretty. And then he paints her. And that's when, you know, when the judges end up scoring these ones, they ask, why did you paint each other? Whose idea was that? And Ralphie explains, you know, the idea that, you know, if he wins, he'll take her. If she wins, she'll take him. And it's this wholesome ending. And so that's when the judges say, both you win. Now, what's so crazy is that this whole time, Ryogi has no idea that Ralphie lied. And in particular, this idea, he didn't even clue her into. He did it because he knew, probably, it's never fully said, but in Ralphie's mind, he probably figured if he had this idea of them painting each other would lead to them both winning. It was this master plan of an idea he ended up coming up with. Again, he's very smart for a kid, but it was this creative idea, and it allowed both of them to win. Yogi thinks that, first of all, Yogi has no idea that that was a grand plan for them both to win. She just thought it was a cool idea. But she fully believed that he sneezed for real. She fully thinks that was true, and she doesn't know that he lied. And it's as they're leaving this competition, and they are given these journals from Mr. Max, that he's looking at Yogi with this journal, and she looks so proud of herself, so happy, so like, oh my god, I finally earned this, I finally did this, I finally accomplished something, that he's looking at her, and his heart just starts to break again. Because he realizes, in that moment, the lapse of judgment that he had, which is that she thinks that she earned this, but she didn't. She is living a lie, essentially. In adult terms, she's living a lie and has no idea in that one day, if she ever finds this out, she will hate him. Because she pretty much says in their original scene where they talk about this that, I'll never forgive you if you let me win. It would ruin the trip forever. And that's when he promises he would never do that. And then he did that. And she doesn't know it. And so he's looking at her so happy, excited, everything, and he just thinks, oh my god, this big, beautiful moment of friendship might actually have been the moment that I lost one of my closest friends. And he's mortified at what he just did. But she's happy. She's living a lie, but she looks happy. And he's like, I don't know what to do. And so I mentioned this earlier, but it ties into the journaling so perfectly because the story ends with essentially the narrator saying, Ralphie didn't know what to do, but he didn't know one thing. He was going to write about this in his journal. And it's so great because then when you go to the journaling activity, you literally see Ralphie talking about this horror that's going on about how horrible he feels and he doesn't know what to do. It's a nightmare of a situation. And Yogi is talking about how proud of herself she is. She finally won something. She finally did something. Her parents are going to be so proud of her. Like, and you're watching this like, oh no. Like, what? Oh no, that's tall. Oh god, that's an issue. Because they're both wholesome and lovable. You don't want either of them to be mad at each other or hate each other. You don't want to see Yogi's heart be broken, you know? So this is a massive storyline that begins and goes on for quite a while. So to break it down further then, so in month two, there is a scene where Ralphie is talking about this with his mom, because Ralphie and his mom paint together all the time, and while they're painting, she brings this up, and so they have a conversation about this, and Ralphie's mom, being the parent, is saying, you should tell Yogi what happened. Like, you should tell her the truth. It's only going to get worse if you don't. But Ralphie just can't bring himself to do it. He's very fearful of things. He's scared. He doesn't want to lose her. And so, but he says, I'll think about it. And in month three, we pick it back up because Ralphie has a nightmare. In this month three story, they're going to be going on this rocket ship ride. And the pressure's on because if he doesn't tell her now, they're going to be on a magical planet millions of miles away from home. I mean, you can't tell her when they're out there, you know, because they're stuck out there. Like, there's no outcome. And if it's going to go bad, it's the worst place for it to go bad. And he has a nightmare that he tells her while on the rocket ship before leaving, right before they leave, he tells her. And it goes terrible. She hates him forever, says he's a terrible friend. Like, the whole thing goes terrible. Emerson and Twinkle are watching from a distance, and they pick Yogi. You know, they kind of, they're on her side about this. And Yogi storms off the rocket ship right before the launch. And Ralphie and Emerson and Twinkle are stuck on the rocket ship after this together. And they fly off to planet Starlight without her. He looks through the window and sees her from a distance, all tiny, but fist balled up of anger, you know, like cursing up at him type thing. And Emerson and Twinkle hate Ralphie now too. But now he's stuck with, it's this nightmare that goes on. And he wakes up and his mom comfort him and says like, what happened? You know, cause he's screaming, crying. And it's after this nightmare that he says, I can't do it. I can't tell her. It's too risky. And of course, she being the mom is like, but you need to. It's the right thing to do. But Ralphie, just being so scared and also just doesn't want to hurt her, is just horrified about doing it, and this nightmare made it worse. And he just thinks, I can't do it. I cannot do it. And so he ends up telling his mom that he's gonna lie. He's just never gonna mention it. One day she'll find out, but in his mind, he thinks, well, she might find out one day, but it'll be after this adventure. And she might hate him, and she might feel like, you know, this whole adventure was ruined, but at least she's a superstar. At least she has her star skills. You know, maybe that'll help her through the situation, right? And he just kind of thinks, like, if I tell her now, she won't go on the trip with us. She won't even learn the star skills. She won't even become a superstar. It'll take that away from her, too. She won't even have that. And so in his mind, he just thinks, it's too risky. I need to just pretend like everything is normal. Everything's fine. None of that happened. She won the competition. Everything's great. And so at this time, you know, he kind of just says to his mom, like, I need to just forget about this for now, because we're going on this big adventure. There's so much to happen. So many things that are going to go down, right? And so we need to just, Ralphie just needs to just let this go, and he'll deal with it later. And so this story between Ralphie and Yogi pauses for a little bit. Now, it's mentioned throughout the next few stories, just as a reminder that this is a lurking thing waiting to go wrong. So you're not going to forget about this in the meantime. But interestingly, we take a little detour. So we'll come back to the story in a minute. Ralphie meets this side character. Now, it's in month 5. It's while they're at Starlight Park. Ralphie ends up meeting a character named River. River is, little fun fact, was originally one of the main characters. I ended up cutting, because it was actually like 7 main characters originally. I cut it down to 4. She was originally just going to be all about nature, you know, and spending time by the water and stuff, hence where River came from, the name. But he ends up meeting this side character because they encounter her at the park, just walking down the same dirt trail. And as they're talking, I think she's talking to Yogi at the time, she ends up mentioning art magic, about this art magic thing. And Yogi's like, oh my god, Ralphie would love that. Like, let me bring him over. And Ralphie, being all shy and nervous, is like, hi, you know, hello, I'm Ralphie. You know, what's this art thing? I like art too. You know, and she explains, you know, a little bit of what it is. And he's fascinated. And he just thinks, oh my god. So, backtrack just for a second. Ralphie, being a painter, and he loves to sketch things. Earlier in this story, because this is a funny gag that ends up building, earlier in this story, when they're at Starlight Park, he sees a mountain in the distance, and there is a river flowing through this mountain, and he decides, let me sketch this picture of the mountain, you know, with the river flowing through it. And once he's doing this, he remembers something. In Dreambrook, their hometown, the very first illustration in the entire program is them sitting by a river. Dreambrook is called Dreambrook because a brook is a small river. There is a river that flows through the center of Dreambrook, and they always spend time there. And Ralphie and his mom, when they're painting together, they're painting this picture of this river from Dreambrook. He even brings a painting with him for the trip. And so he's constantly thinking of this river because it's home to him. And when he sees this river in the mountain, it reminds him of home. And so then he does a sketch of the river from Dreambrook. So when he then meets this girl, she doesn't say what her name is. She's just some girl at this park, and she loves art, and he loves art too. And so he gives her this picture of the river from Dreambrook. And when she gets it, she's freaked out and runs away. And Ralphie is like, oh my god, what did I just do? It's social anxiety, like everyone's biggest nightmare gone wrong. He does something nice, and the girl runs away, right? In horror. He has no idea why, right? All he knows is this is some random girl. She loves art. So does he. He just did this really cool sketch, so he gave it to her as a gift. She runs away in horror. And he's like, oh my god. And so he's bothered by this, right? Well, now in month 6, there is the adventure him and Emerson go on to get art magic. Because he thinks, well, I'm obviously not going to learn it from this girl. I need to find it myself now, right? That's the idea. And so him and Emerson go on this adventure. And when they get to art magic, the way it's actually discovered is there is a treasure chest, and he has to find this key in this room, and then he unlocks the treasure chest, And inside this treasure chest, to his surprise, is a letter. And this letter is from this girl from the park. And she explains to him in this letter, he has no idea how it got here for the record, but he just knows it's here. She explains that the reason she ran away was because her name is River. And she got this picture of a river from him, and she thought he was some crazy person or someone evil or something or bad. And so she ran away in fear, right? But she explains that art magic is this very special thing that, you know, based on the conversation, he would love. And so this letter, this plays into it later because she also explains word magic. She's really good at writing, whereas he's better as a painter. But she explains how to do art magic. And he felt this special connection to this girl through art. And also they're both introverts. So there's a connection there that's kind of implied. But just both being similar in personality and they look similar. There's a bunch of different things. This letter pretty much explains how to do art magic. And this letter means everything to Ralphie. And so after he learns art magic in month 7, that's when from this letter, she just explains the significance of art. That's the thing that actually inspires him to do the painting for Twinkle with the magical music festival storyline that goes on. And so he uses it then and literally sees in real time with Twinkle's reaction to it and how impacted she was by this art. He starts to discover his own purpose in this world, which was something that Ralphie had always lacked, this feeling of purpose. And then everything comes falling down in month 8. In month 8, to put it simply, there is a scene where Yogi finds out the truth. And everything goes horrible. She finds out that Ralphie lied. And she is utterly heartbroken. Just as one would think she would be, especially up to this point, believing this entire time that this was all true and everything was great and she earned this, she feels so defeated, so hurt, so bad. And it's in the same story at Milky Way Lanes that while they're there, just by complete chance, Ralphie, who has this new friend in River, and now knows her name is River and understands what's going on, and this whole art magic thing happens, there's this letter, all this stuff has been built up. While they're at Milky Way Lanes, by complete chance, River shows up there, and she's going bowling with her mom. And Ralphie instinctively goes over and hangs out with her. Now, to understand the scene, you need to understand Yogi's perspective, because Yogi feels like Ralphie is this horrible friend that lied to her and doesn't care about her. And she feels like if he cared about her, he would have told her this a while ago, right? And from her, at least her opinion, is that had Ralphie told her the truth, especially early on, she would have forgave him. But now, so this is essentially proving why Ralphie should have told her the truth, but now she doesn't trust him anymore, because this whole time she's been living a lie, and he's just been doing his thing, painting and, you know, living his good old life and everything, right? And she's heartbroken. In this scene, River shows up, and Ralphie instinctively runs over to River to hang out with her, talk to her about art and all these different things they got going on. Yogi is watching this, and she feels like she's being replaced. Ralphie essentially screwed her over, and now has this new female friend, you know, that looks like him and acts like him and has all these similar hobbies, all the things that Yogi doesn't have. And she is just, she's heartbroken and feels lonely, and it's so sad, but I promise you, this has a beautiful ending to it. But the whole thing is just, I mean, it's tragic for her, right? Now, going into story 9, right? So the one thing that Yogi does have is Sparky. Throughout all of this going on, she is talking to Sparky and going to Sparky for support. It's the only thing keeping her from just completely falling apart. While they're at Billy Bob's barnyard, there is this crazy conflict with this big thunderstorm that goes down. Right? Now, interestingly, prior to this, at the very start of the story, in month 9, Ralphie has an idea. He says, I want to paint something for River. And so he does this painting, and on their way to Billy Bob's barnyard, they drop off the painting outside. Now, he wants to give it to her, but she wasn't home. So he has to leave it outside. Now, there's a little awning he leaves it under, but it's kind of protected a little bit, but it's mostly outside. But he thinks, oh, well, she'll probably be home soon. Whatever, right? You know, she'll get it when she gets home. Well, while they're at Billy Bob's barnyard, this massive thunderstorm goes down. In the back of his mind, he is worried. What if she never got my painting? Did it get destroyed? What happened to it, right? But in the midst of all this, this whole chaotic scene goes out. All the animals are running loose because of this thunderstorm. Gates get knocked over. It's this crazy scene where they all have to jump into action to save these animals. And in the process of it, Yogi is hanging out with Daisy the sheep. And Daisy is terrified of the thunderstorm. And she thinks, let me give you Sparky. Sparky will keep you company because Yogi has to go help Twinkle save these ducklings. So she says, Sparky, you stay with Daisy. I'm going to go help Twinkle. And so Sparky, the little stuffed animal, is with Daisy the sheep, who is horrified of the thunderstorm. And she runs to go help Twinkle, and she's able to help Twinkle in the scene. But afterwards, they run back together to Mr. Max and Emerson and Ralphie, and they regroup, and you know, they get back inside, and they're exhausted, and they, you know, Mr. Max says, we got to get back home, you know, this weather is terrible, you know, let's get back home nice and safe. And so they, you know, she falls asleep during the ride, she's exhausted, and it's once she gets back home, which, mind you, this is like an hour or two drive in context of all this. She gets home, and as she's lying down into bed, she realizes she doesn't have Sparky. And it's in that moment that her heart breaks again. And she realizes, I lost Sparky. He's not here. And she remembers giving Sparky to Daisy the sheep. And he's still there. In the midst of this thunderstorm, where there's thunder, lightning, pouring rain, he's in a cold, empty barn with a bunch of sheep. Hours away, and she desperately needs him in general right now. With all the stuff going on, and he's there. She doesn't even have him anymore. And that is when she asks to learn a new star skill, which is thought popping, because she is a complete wreck. She tells this to Mr. Max what happened. She is in complete despair. And this is just, again, where the program is so inherently unique, is because in typically, like the original concept of the program was just story would happen, some conflict would happen, star skill saves everyone. But in this case, it is so character-driven and like almost long-term story-driven how this thought-popping actually is introduced and integrated into the story. Well, that night, she normally sleeps with Sparky and desperately needs him. She now has to sleep with this can of bubbles. And it's so sad, but it works. It gets her through the night. Even in this level of despair, this star skill is powerful enough to save her. Again, furthering the idea that star skills are this powerful, this impactful, this important. Even in that type of situation, they work. But the next day comes, and now it's, in this case, month 10. Things get worse. Because she's told right away that they're going to get back Sparky. Mr. Max says, first thing in the morning, we'll get him back. So morning comes, they're going to go get Sparky. Well, Ralphie gets to Mr. Max first, and Ralphie says, I'm terrified that my painting got destroyed. Ralphie had a bad dream. Let's just put it this way. Ralphie had a bad dream that the painting got destroyed in the rain, because it could have, given the, you know, whenever River got home. And he doesn't know if that's the last thing she's going to remember from him, because they know at this point they're going home soon. And Ralphie did this big painting for her, and he's worried that she got home and found this destroyed painting. Like, that looks terrible. And so he says to Mr. Max, can we stop there first? And he says, sure, it's, you know, it's not too far from home. You know, it's not that far of a drive. We'll stop there on the way to going to Billy Bob's barnyard to get Sparky back. And this is when they go to Rivers and they check to see if this painting's there. And lo and behold, it did get destroyed by the rain and the thunderstorm. It was a very sad scene for Ralphie finding this. River ends up coming outside. They rekindle. Everything's great. But it's in that moment that the minivan dies, and they are stranded at River's house, and Yogi has to come to the realization that they're not going to be getting Sparky back today, because the repairman for Mr. Max's minivan won't be coming until late that night. They have to spend the entire day at River's house. So just to recap here, Yogi had her heart absolutely shattered, broken by Ralphie when she finds out what the truth is, but she has to bottle it up inside. Then she loses Sparky. And then the next day, when she's in dire need of him to get him back, they now get stranded at River's house. So the entire day, she has to watch Ralphie replace her again with River, have this wonderful day. They discover word magic together and they have their own little adventure going on, right? And she has to watch this go down and she can't do anything about it other than sit there and just despair, like in gloom of like, this is horrible, right? This is terrible. Like, I have nothing, right? And so they spend the entire day there. That is all of month 10. And then in month 11, something even worse happens in some ways for her. She then overhears Ralphie talking again. This time, Ralphie, still having no idea that she even knows about this, Ralphie is commenting on how much of a mess Yogi essentially looks and is acting right now without Sparky. Now, he doesn't know that this entire situation is amplified by the fact that she knows the truth. He just thinks, oh, wow, she can't manage without Sparky. She's a mess without Sparky, you know, type thing. Now, mind you, Ralphie's saying this in a very calm, kind, Ralphie-like way. You know, he's saying it more like, you know, he's worried about her, he cares about her, but, you know, he doesn't think that she could go another day without Sparky. And he's actually saying this to Mr. Max because he's worried that what if something happens and they don't get him back that day? You know, because Mr. Max is actually trying to reach Billy Bob and the phone is just going to voicemail. And that's when he says all this and she overhears it again. And now she is even more angry because he has no idea that she knows this. But what she knows is the truth. And now he's judging her for not having, for being a mess without Sparky. Like, the layers to this is insane in her mind of, like, what a horrible person Ralphie must be. Which is crazy, because in the contrast of this, from the reader's perspective, Ralphie is this loving, caring friend who lied for her own sake because he loves her and cares about her and wants her to be a superstar. And he has this beautiful friendship with River that, from his perspective, is very positive, and it's great for his own personal growth and his own development as a character. And mind you, as this is going down, from a reader's perspective, none of this feels negative. This is a special thing with him and River. It's not soiled by this. It's just this is another layer to their story. Anyways, she overhears this, and she is once again heartbroken and furious. But a beautiful moment happens when, as they're discussing this, they get a knock at the door, and lo and behold, Billy Bob drove an hour or 2 hours to their house to return Sparky. And that's why he didn't pick up the phone, because he was driving. And in that moment, just to skip over all the little details, she reunites with Sparky. But they have no idea that she overheard them, not only the first time, but let alone this time, right? And they're like, oh my God, Sparky's back. And Yogi has to act like everything's fine. Like, oh my God, Sparky's back. Yay, type thing. And she takes Sparky, runs to her room, and bawls her eyes out. Because essentially the thing that she had heard in this conversation was that Ralphie thinks that Yogi is too weak to go a day without Sparky, another day. And she's so angry at him for all these reasons that she says, I'm going to prove him wrong. And so in month 11, they go to the magical museum, and she says to Sparky, I'm going to leave you home today. I'm going to show him that he's wrong about all of this. I'm stronger than he ever, you know, he could ever be, you know, etc. Just this retaliation kind of mentality. I'll get him, you know, I'll show him. And she leaves Sparky home. And they go to this museum. And little spoiler alert, she's not okay. And the whole story, while there's some fun up and downs, as Emerson goes crazy during this whole entire museum, he gets lost and runs away because of boulders. Funny things happen. The whole time, there is just this looming feeling of just despair from Yogi because she's just doing this, you know, just to prove him wrong, right? But the reality is, and this is the beautiful part of the story, Ralphie's right. And really, the issue is not Ralphie. It's Yogi. Now, before I break down some more of what I mean and where this kind of all ends and how this ends so happily, there's another story that needs to be understood, and it's very important, and it plays into all of this so poetically. So, let's take a step back for a second. Twinkle. Twinkle is a fascinating character, as I said before, because she is overconfident and big personality and just oozing with this, you know, she can do anything and she'll perform in front of any person, but deep down is very insecure and very scared. And a big part of her character is that she's so self-centered and is always thinking about Twinkle. Everything is Twinkle. Twinkle this, Twinkle that, Twinkle this, Twinkle that, right? What happens in around month 4 and month 5, because she's so adamant about being right about things, and then, you know, in month 4, she's proven wrong and ends up having this panic attack, and you kind of see a bit of Twinkle on, you know, at her core. When in month 5, when Emerson gets hurt playing baseball, she ends up feeling something that she had never really felt before, which is compassion. She doesn't know the word. Yogi kind of helps her to understand it in the end, but she feels compassion and she feels bad. She can't stop thinking about Emerson being in pain and how bad it makes her feel. And in month 6, there is a scene where she is thinking about this and she talks about it with Yogi, and she just can't understand, like, why do I feel this way? Why do I feel this way? What is going on? Like, I don't understand this. And Yogi helps her to understand what compassion is and what empathy is. And Twinkle realizes that she cares about her friends more than she realizes. And Yogi kind of points out that, yeah, but you never say it. Like, you never show it. It's always just Twinkle this, Twinkle that, you know? And Twinkle starts to realize that she's not been a good friend. And Yogi is the one that helps her to realize and fully understand that, yeah, she has been a bad friend. And it's, they just know her as Twinkle. That's just how Twinkle is. No one goes to Twinkle for help or advice or, you know, for support, because no one thinks that she cares. But she does. But doesn't show it or say it. And Twinkle all of a sudden comes to this understanding of how bad of a friend she's been. She's a horrible person, she feels like, you know? But Yogi says, but you could be a better person, and you can be a better friend. And she explains that the reason why she has been friends with Twinkle up to this point, despite this, is because she feels like Twinkle has a much bigger heart than anyone sees. Yogi says that, you know, I've seen that you have a heart. It's come out in these moments. I know it's there. I've just been waiting for the day you realize it and see it yourself. And Twinkle just starts bawling her eyes out, getting really, like, emotional, realizing, like, oh my god, like, you're right, and that means so much to me. Twinkle feels like no one's ever really cared about her like that. No one's ever cared enough to help her, let alone, you know, put up with her for all this time. You know, and she genuinely appreciates Yogi in this moment, but also then feels like she's been a terrible friend to Yogi. Like, this, you know, just throughout all their little friendship they've had, she hasn't done anything for Yogi, yet Yogi has this whole time actually cared about her in a way no one else really has. And she gives Yogi this big hug, and then Yogi says, well, let this be the moment that you change and you become a better person and better friend. And Yogi decides to give Twinkle a flower from her garden. And mind you, in the lore of all this, in the nature on planet Starlight is very magical, and these flowers all have special powers like strength and healing and such. But she gives Twinkle a very specific one and says, every time you see this flower, I want you to think of this conversation, and I want it to inspire you to be a better person and a better friend. And Twinkle takes this flower, tears in her eyes, and she puts it in her pocket. And all throughout the next few stories, Twinkle has this flower with her. And I call back to this flower all the time when, you know, the next day, this is month 6. So month 7 is a big music festival. And she's remembering at times throughout this whole adventure to, you know, when she sees this flower, to do something for someone. And then Ralphie gives her this painting, right, at the end of month 7. And so in month 8, she sees the flower and thinks, I need to do something for him. So she writes him a song, you know, and then later on she thinks, let me help Emerson, you know, with his performing interests and such. And so she becomes a much better friend, and essentially Yogi saves her. And it's then in month 8, when Yogi's heart is shattered by all this, that eventually Twinkle finds out about what's going on, and she's also very involved in overhearing the conversation in month 11 that Ralphie and Mr. Max have, and Twinkle feels like Yogi saved her from losing her friends, from being this horrible person forever. Yogi saved her. And so Twinkle feels like, I need to save Yogi. I need to do something for her. I need to be that friend for her. And so Twinkle, this self-centered, sassy, sarcastic, over-the-top character that is all just Twinkle this, Twinkle that, is essentially going to save Yogi from this entire problem. This entire situation that is heartbreaking. No Sparky, you know, Ralphie lying to her, ruining this adventure, everything, right? She's going to save Yogi. And so while they're at this museum, going back to the Ralphie and Yogi situation here, when Yogi is trying to prove everyone wrong, you know, I don't need Sparky for today, and she obviously needs Sparky and is 100% wrong about that. It's while they're there that they end up in a yoga exhibit. And in this moment, all of a sudden, all of this pain and suffering that Yogi's going through goes away for a little bit. Yogi absolutely loves yoga and everything that she's being taught. But this exhibit is cut short. There is a hilarious scene where Mr. Max tries to do yoga, hurts his back, he falls into a water cooler, water splashes everywhere, everything gets destroyed in the room, including these pamphlets that are all about yoga for Yogi to read. And so Yogi doesn't even get this. So that gets taken away too. And so she's very sad about it. And Twinkle's watching all this go down. And she's like, oh my God, that is it. Yoga is the thing that'll make her feel better. It'll take away this pain. It'll save her from everything going on. And now these pamphlets are ruined too, and the exhibit's cut short, and Yogi's once again heartbroken and in despair. And this beautiful scene happens where while they're in this exhibit, and this whole, they're trying to clean up the room, there's water everywhere, you know, soggy pamphlets. The instructor, who is the one in charge of this exhibit, is trying to clean all this stuff up. Twinkle is looking around the room for anything she can find, and she finds this book, and this book is all about yoga. But what's interesting about this is that it's explained a little in the exhibit, but Twinkle learns about this more from the first few pages of the book that she finds. But in these first few pages, she reads that yoga is all about loving yourself and becoming powerful and strong. And Twinkle immediately recognizes there is a much bigger issue going on with Yogi than even Yogi realizes. And the way that Twinkle discovered that she has this big, beautiful heart, and Twinkle, who loves herself too much in a lot of times, she starts realizing that Yogi doesn't love herself. And Twinkle pieces together, in a weird way, Twinkle ends up realizing how smart she is piecing all this together. And you would never think Twinkle is this smart, but she really is. She kind of pieces together the idea that the reason why she is so upset that Ralphie lied all stems from the fact that Yogi didn't think that she was worthy of going on this trip, you know, without winning this competition. That, you know, she feels like she's never enough. She feels like she's not worth going on this trip. You know, she doesn't belong, you know, on this adventure. That she doesn't have any skills or talents, and that everybody only just loves her for Sparky. Twinkle realizes that Yogi doesn't love herself. And this is all the way in month 11, so this is the most serious conversation had on the entire program, and a very serious and sensitive topic, but it is so well put together, I think, in how this comes together, and it's beyond needed, because this is all mental health oriented. To recap, what I'm saying is that Twinkle realizes that Yogi doesn't love herself, and that the reason she is so heartbroken when she doesn't have Sparky is because she's not used to being alone, and without Sparky, she doesn't feel like she belongs at all in anywhere because everyone loves her for Sparky. She doesn't love herself. Yogi doesn't think that Yogi by herself is just enough and worth being on these adventures. That's the issue. It's not that Ralphie lied to try to get her on this trip or that Sparky's missing. It's that all of this boils down to the fact that Yogi doesn't love herself. And Twinkle is the one who realizes this and understands this. And again, she feels like she needs to save Yogi in the way that Yogi saved her. So when she finds this book, she waits for the person who's in charge of the exhibit, this instructor, to come back into the room. And Twinkle says, can I please have this book? I really want to give this book to Yogi. And the instructor is like, well, I can't just give this book up. Like, this is a special book. You know, she's had it for years. It's part of the exhibit. You know, she always shows this to people during the exhibit before, you know, it gets cut short from Mr. Max hurting his back. She was going to show everyone this book at some point, and it's part of this exhibit. And Twinkle's like, I'll do anything to get this book. And the instructor's like, I can't just give it up. Like, we need this. And then Twinkle looks down at the flower, and she has an idea. And she explains to the instructor what this flower is in her pocket, and tells the instructor about the story of Yogi saving her, and how this flower is literally a symbol for her being saved by Yogi, and that because of stuff that's too complicated to get into now, she needs to save Yogi, and kind of gives her the cliff notes of it. But she says, I will give you this flower to put in the spot of this book. If you give me this book, I will literally sacrifice the flower that has been saving me and means the world to Twinkle just to get this book for Yogi. And the instructor loves the idea and says, you know what? Let's do it. I will keep this flower here. I'll always keep it in water. I'll make sure it stays alive. And every time there's an exhibit now, I will show people this flower and tell them the story of your friendship and how yoga is, you know, it all connects together in this exhibit. And Twinkle's like, let's do it. And so Twinkle gets the book. And then when they get home and Yogi is just distraught, she's kind of reconnecting with Sparky, who's just, she doesn't know what to do anymore, is so distraught. Twinkle gives this book to Yogi and says, we're going to read this together. And they have this beautiful scene where this book that also teaches how to do yoga, they do yoga together. And it's in this conversation that they have where Twinkle helps Yogi to realize what the problem is. You know, all about, you know, you don't love yourself and that this is truly the issue and that it's not about Ralphie. It's not about, you know, Sparky. It's not about any of them. It's about you. And Yogi understands and agrees and says, you're right. I don't love myself, and explains why. And then Twinkle says, well, now we're going to learn how to love ourselves. And through this book and through yoga, that is exactly what happens. And they have this beautiful, it's just a beautiful ending to month 11. But there's still one thing that hasn't been done. Ralphie still doesn't even know any of this happened. Yogi never talked to Ralphie about this. And long story short, in month 12, the conversation happens. And it's very tense and very wild. But to say the least, they get onto the same page again. And everything between them is fixed. Ralphie explains where he was coming from, why he did what he did. And Yogi explains how angry she was when she found out, but realized that he's not the issue. She was. But now she loves herself. And she loves her friends. And they all love each other. And it's this happy, beautiful, perfect ending, right? There's so many pieces to this storyline. And again, I can only say so much on a podcast like this. We're already approaching 2 hours. So, you know, this is already long enough. But this is why I say the storytelling in this program is so beautiful. Because, mind you, Emerson has his own story. Now, just in all fairness, it's not nearly as good as these ones. Emerson's story has a lot to do with just the battle of ADHD and his insane hyperfixation of rocks and boulders and learning how to deal with his hyper energy and how to put his energy to good use in positive ways. And Emerson does have this journey, but it's just crazy because Emerson's journey of itself is relatable to people and can be very helpful to people with ADHD and hyper energy and different types of conditions. But as that's happening, you have this beautiful story of Ralphie and River. You have this beautiful story of Twinkle and Yogi, and you have this crazy conflict between Ralphie and Yogi that goes for like pretty much the entire program. And these things are huge, and they're built and built and built upon with these crazy cliffhangers and plot twists and you know, little twists and turns in the road. And this is all happening amidst all of these individual adventures that are all crazy and have conflicts and ups and downs and funny moments and great dialogue scenes and descriptive writing and, you know, funny side adventures and pranks and jokes and all these different things happening, you know, and these other just stories that just come up naturally with other side characters or, you know, other dynamics I haven't even explored on this podcast, you know, and this is all happening under the general storyline that's happening throughout the whole program. You know, with this quest to become superstars. And in the end, they all love each other. They all love themselves. They all become superstars. And they all come back home and they celebrate. And now their quest is to become superstars. And if I ever decide to write more stories, there's a whole world to go into of them being superstars in this world. And that's a whole story for another day, so I won't get into that now, but there's a lot to do there. But ultimately, to me, this is a masterpiece, and again, there's always a chance that the stories aren't perfect yet. Maybe things aren't as coherent as they could be. Maybe some things are too complicated, I need to simplify. Maybe some things are too simple sometimes, and I need to add more complexity. Maybe I need to work even further at the continuity and making sure things are understood. Maybe there's more tips and tricks I need to learn. I don't know. But ultimately, I believe that these stories are a masterpiece and they're beautiful and the stories are so worth reading. And so the best part to me is that this story is the foundation of the program, but there's an entire program on top of this. This is what Stories for Stars is all about. It's this magical adventure, the most magical story in the universe, that is the center and foundation of everything. The worksheets all tie into the, you know, into the story. The activities tie into the story. I mentioned the journaling. Every month, there are journal entries from each character that explore all of these different storylines in depth from their own perspectives, writing in journals that no one else will see from their perspective, right? And you learn all in the whole, you're learning all of this stuff about how Ralphie's feeling about all of this throughout all of this, and you see him oblivious to things that later on that Yogi is aware about that she's writing about in her journal entries, because she should write about these from her character's perspective. So you have these types of things. You have mini games that are going on that relate to each star skill, you know, and then we have the parents section, you know, the educational stuff for the parents. I mean, these stories come in video books, which look beautiful. You know, there are so many things in this program that are built upon this big, beautiful, magical adventure. And so that's why I think Stories for Stars is so special and it's so unique. And I think this is something that I hope one day will become a household name. Maybe one day someone will hear this podcast and it will be a household name. Maybe it's a complete failure. I don't know. But I cannot wait to hear and see what people think of this. And at the end of the day, regardless of what people think of mental health awareness or what people think of the program side of things, I know that there is a beautiful story here, beautiful lessons to be learned from this, and it's just simply worth trying. If for some reason your kids don't like the story and you try for a month, 2 months, 3 months, and it just isn't enough, it doesn't work, I'm not going to win everybody, but I think that it's worth trying, and I think this is definitely worth giving a shot and giving the benefit of the doubt to it if it isn't perfect right now, that this will become something. And with your support, this will become a household name. And I just need people to trust that anything that maybe doesn't go perfect right now in the early days of this will be fixed and improved. And in the end, the whole program will be as perfect as the story. And this will become something that is, you know, that goes on for years and years and years. And, you know, hopefully there are superstars crowned everywhere in this world. So, yeah, I think that about sums everything up. I think it is best that we wrap things up here because this has gone on for a very long time. But thank you very much, Maretta. And also thank you to all of the parent stars that have listened to this podcast, especially the ones who made it to the end here. So thank you to everybody. And I hope that if nothing else, you at least know where I'm coming from when I say this is the most magical story in the universe.
Thank you, Evan Nova. All right, parent stars, thank you for joining us. This is the end of our podcast. As always, we look forward to seeing you soon. Please click the link below that says Begin My Story, and we will see you on the other side.